largely forgotten today. Sidney and Violet Schiff were ubiquitous, almost Zelig-like figures in the most important literary movement of the 20th century. Their friendships among the elite of the modernist writers were remarkable, and their extensive correspondences with T.S. Eliot, Catherine Mansfield, Proust, and many others strongly suggest both intimacy and intellectual equality. Now, Stephen Clydman has written a new book called Sidney and Violet, Their Life with T.S. Eliot, Proust, Joyce, and the excruciatingly irascible Wyndham Lewis. The book is published by Doubleday, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Stephen Clydman to the program. Thank you very much for being with us, sir. I appreciate it.
And thank you. I'm delighted to be with you.
It is a delight. Give us a sense of what led you to these two individuals.
A couple of things. Probably the most important one was a friend of mine in Spain lent me a book called The Night at the Majestic, which took its title from the dinner the Schiffs hosted in 1922 at the Majestic Hotel in Paris. And among their guests had Picasso, Joyce, Proust, Stravinsky, and Diaghilev. Instantly made me think, these are people who probably are fairly interesting. And I had an interest in the period going way back, and I thought I was looking for a project, and I thought this might be it, and that's how it came about.
Talk about what exactly they did, of how they became this power couple.
They had a number of things going for them. For starters, they were both literary. Sidney, indeed, wrote 9 books, 7 of which were novels, and was recognized at the time as somebody with talents equal to some of the best of the day. His works didn't survive the way others did, but he got plenty of praise back then. They also had money, which didn't hurt because they could have a very pleasant salon where everything would go on, including game playing, and the company was always interesting. And Violet was a very, very bright, incisive woman who, in some cases, was really more the reason for the friendship than Sidney was. Those are essentially why they succeeded in having this set of relationships.
As you note in the book, they were able to overcome really a literary world that is often snobbish and anti-Semitic, and given their Jewish origins, were able to overcome that.
That's true. It didn't seem to play much of a role in their lives. When Eliot first met them, he wrote a letter to his mother, which said, "I've been to see some new friends called Schiff, comma, very nice Jews," which says something about the anti-Semitic attitudes in that crowd in those days. Wyndham Lewis was a rabid anti-Semite, yet Sidney and Violet, who bought his paintings, he was a painter as well as a writer, and supported him with money at other times, seemed to be willing to make an exception in their case. And that was often the way it worked. If you had a lot else to offer that they wanted, the anti-Semitism was sometimes overlooked. And in their case, that happened rather frequently. On the other hand, Wyndham Lewis' satire, The Apes of God, they were the subject of an entire chapter that skewered them and was anti-Semitic. So it went both ways.
How badly did you want that describer in the subtitle of the book, the excruciatingly irascible Wyndham Lewis?
I wanted it very badly. A lot of people didn't like it when it started, when I first suggested it. However, my editor and publisher, Nan Talese, loved it. And the reaction to it has been very good.
Because that, I mean, that perfectly describes it, doesn't it?
I did my best in a couple of words, but he's a piece of work.
And when you have a character like that, it seems difficult to not have them overshadow Sidney and Violet, whose name is front and center in the book.
Well, you know, I didn't think in those terms. I just thought this is an interesting character. He was clearly very bright, but he had a great many flaws. And he was interesting enough to just draw him as a character the best I could. And my own sense of it is that didn't happen. I mean, that Sidney and Violet still remained at the center of the action, but your point is well taken, but it was not one that I really was concerned about.
With that said, what does it say about these two individuals, about Sidney and Violet, that they were such a lure to such extravagant personalities, whether it be Wyndham Lewis or Huxley or Eliot or Joyce or Picasso?
Well, again, they were both very intelligent. Sidney was a writer of note. He also was the backer and, at some point, the really the most important figure in a journal called Art and Letters, which published Eliot and published Wyndham Lewis and many of the others. And he also was able to introduce Eliot to Lady Rothermere, who backed him in the Criterion, Eliot's journal, which was to become the most successful of all modernist journals. So there were lots of things going for them.
You write about Violet, that she was one of the first in England to recognize Proust's genius and ultimately spread the word.
I think that's true. The first volume, Swan, was published in 1913. Violet had read it by 1916. I don't know that there was an English translation by then, but both Sidney and Violet were fluent in French as well as German, and they had studied the classics as well. But in any event, she fell in love with it immediately. She recommended that Sidney read it. He did. He didn't fall in love with it immediately. She pushed him to read it again, and the second time around, he understood what she was getting at. And eventually, in 1919, he started their long correspondence with Proust.
So when it comes to Sidney and Violet Schiff and the story that you want to tell in this book, what was their ultimate contribution to literature and that time?
That's a very good question. My goal was never to write a traditional biography of this couple. The goal was, as the title suggests, to talk about the rest of the crowd using the Schiffs as a new way of looking at their lives, largely because there were a total of about 1,300 letters that I had access to that just gave clear indications of who they were in a way that other works often do not. In terms of Sidney and Violet's own contribution, I think really it was, in his case, partly the writings, in her case, a very incisive and insightful mind that was well respected by this crowd. And also, you know, the simple fact that they brought them together on a fairly regular basis.
The name of the book is Sidney and Violet. Stephen Kleidman is the author. It's published by Doubleday. Stephen, thank you very much for sharing with us. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Thank you so much. Again, the title of the book is Sidney and Violet by Stephen Kleidman. It is published by Doubleday. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.